Let's go, let's go, let's go. Tempo in and out of the huddle.
I want to go odd. 5, 51 mirror.
This is Patriots Playbook.
Go stack guts combat. Odd, 51 mirror.
Patriots Playbook, breaking down last Sunday's game.
They're looking for man coverage in the zone. They didn't have anybody to throw to. Just stay outside on the 7 route.
Next Sunday's game.
Be ready for the greats check, too, okay? Because we'll get the punch on third and short. Even 51 greats. Even 51 greats.
And the rest of the
2007
NFL
season.
Yeah,
go ahead and hit it in there because the backers are going to fast read over the top.
And some of the fun stuff in between. Now, here's John Rook on Patriots Playbook.
Come on, let's go, let's go.
I think this is what I love most. It's what I love about this high class, top notch A1 production around here. We're in the studio here, Gillette, right? Okay, Gary's computer yesterday. For those that don't know, Gary's computer went on the fritz. All right, so he has really like no email communication or anything with anybody, which is really a bad way for a guy who's in his position. I mean, you know, they did get somebody down here to fix it. Nobody's fixed it yet. So they got him in like a temporary little setup with a laptop and such. And, of course, the only way he can actually do now some of his emails and make sure that we don't keep reading the same emails over again from you is to come in here and work on this computer. So Gary's actually taking care of his emails. Yeah, and here we are. We welcome you inside the playbook for Thursday right here on Patriots.com radio. My name is John Rook. This is our final program of the day. Say it ain't so. Final program of the year. Say it ain't so. It is, unfortunately. Next week, as we've mentioned throughout the course of the week, the PFW guys and the Patriots Today folks, they will be carrying you right on through here on Patriots.com and Patriots.com radio. And for those that have been around for this season, we thank you for your support. We're glad that you're with us for one last day on the program today. And we certainly want to hear from you. Webradio at Patriots.com. I guess it's okay for me to move back in my chair now because Gary has left. So let me adjust things all over again. Don't you just love how radio works? This is big time. This is just freaking big time. I've had it a lot worse in a lot of other places, believe me. So here's the scoop today. We will check in with Russell Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, coming up in a bit, probably right about the top of our 3 o'clock hour today. And we'll get to some of the issues at hand surrounding the actual game itself of Super Bowl 42. But because this is our final program for the season, because, again, we won't be with you next week from Arizona. We'll have the PFW staff and their program on for you as per the norm. And then, of course, the week after, you go into the off-season mode of just one day a week. And how you're going to survive without us is beyond me. But if there are some general observations that you have of this 2007 football season, if you have something that you've always wanted to ask or something that you've always wanted to write or something that you've just wanted to say and you've never had a chance to say it, either on a radio show or to me personally or to the Patriots at large or whatever it may be, today is the day because I will read every email that comes across today. Wanted to leave the time available that if you take the time to send the email, and there, most shows we actually do read all the emails. Right, Dan? Most of the time, we do a pretty good job of, you know, if you're taking the time to write us, we'll take the time to read it. On rare instances, do we not get the chance to go through every email? But if you're going to take the time to write, we generally try to share it. And besides, many of you, the overwhelming majority of you have pertinent things to say, have good football topics to discuss, actually have some pretty good insight as to your takes on why things are the way they are, whether it's with the Patriots or an upcoming opponent or what have you. But today's the last shot because we won't be able to come back to you, at least inside the playbook program, until next September. Sounds like a long way away, doesn't it? I think I was trying to figure that out the other day. It's like 7.5 months or so, probably till we come back to you with the next edition of the Patriots playbook. So in that regard, it'll be a while before we get a chance to visit again. So if you have some questions, if you have some comments, concerns, criticisms, maybe ways that you would like to see the show go in the future, I mean, whatever it may be, okay, sky's the limit today. fire off an email. Let's hear from you today so we'll have a chance to chat one more time. Webradio@patriots.com. 508-543-7482 is the telephone number. There are a couple of announcements that we'd like to make off the top of the program. I don't know if the guys beforehand talked about this or not, but for those of you who are in the area, New England, okay, certainly southern New England, but New England area, who would be listening to the program today, Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is going to sponsor a send-off celebration here at the stadium this next Sunday morning, 10 a.m., right here at Gillette. Pretty sure this has probably been put up on the website already, but if not, we're telling you now. All Patriots fans are invited to see the team off prior to their departure for Arizona. The entire team will be here. Coach Bill Belichick, owner Robert Kraft will be here. Fans will be allowed onto the stadium grounds. It's free. It's open to the public. There will be no charge. That's what free means. Parking at Gillette Stadium, also free. The parking lots and gates will open at 9 a.m. for the 10 a.m. send-off. Now, as I recall, the last time we did this a few years ago, they didn't physically do the send-off inside the stadium. This was out on staging that was actually out on the parking lot grounds, and I believe that is going to be the case again for this Sunday. Or is it going to be inside the stadium?
Inside the stadium.
It will be inside the stadium. Thank you for that. Well, it's probably because we have so much construction going on in the parking lots around here, right? Okay, so the gates will open at 9 o'clock Sunday morning. You'll be allowed inside the stadium. The send-off will begin at 10 a.m., and then voila, the team will take off for Arizona. So, again, that's this Sunday, January the 27th, 10 a.m. Parking lots open at 9. Free and open to anybody. No charge. Sponsored by Governor Patrick of Massachusetts, the Kraft families, Coach Belichick, and, of course, the AFC champion New England Patriots. So if you're in the area and you want to, you don't normally get the chance to come to a game, or you want to bring the kids out to see the team before they go to the Super Bowl, this is your opportunity. So that's coming up on Sunday for you. Okay. I guess I kind of look a little bit more at the matchups for this game. And by the way, I noticed that in right before we left you, or right before the PFW guys left you, ESPN had put up that ranking the players from 1 to 106 or whatever it was, all 53 players on both rosters from best to worst, which is really, frankly, kind of stupid. I mean, you know, really. Does it really matter beyond, like, the top 6 or 7? I mean, everybody else is a role player. This is unfortunately what you get when you have too much time on your hands between games. You get silly things, you get dopey things, you get goofy things like lists, like ESPN is, ESPN.com is doing today, ranking the players from 1 to 106. I mean, frankly, number 106 is Antoine Spann. Okay?
Dan Klecko.
Well, no. You don't think he made the roster. But, I mean, come on. Does that really matter? Does it really matter? And how would you put a Patriot player over a Giants player? Did the Giants not go 13-6? I mean, come on. Should we even have to consider this? It's dumb.
What, are you kidding me?
I know. Matt Gutierrez was ranked 104th on this. Yeah, he's shown little to date. Why do you think that is? And you're going to rank him behind, someone like Anthony Wright of the Giants? I realize he's probably had a little bit more playing time. How about are you going to rank him behind Jared Lorenzen? you're going to rank him behind come on. It's okay. I'm not even going to give it any more credibility, all right? But I'm just saying here that this is what you get when you have too much time on your hands. Brady, yes, was ranked number 1. Moss was ranked number 2, as Gary mentioned to us earlier. Funny. Just funny. We talked yesterday a little bit about Fran Tarkington. And Fran Tarkington obviously was a quarterback for the Giants and quarterback for the Vikings and obviously he's gone on record, I think, already is saying on ESPN Radio earlier today that he thinks New York will win. And that's all fine, and that's good. And I heard earlier today Adam Schefter, who's been on this program before, during the course of the season from NFL Network, and he was on WEEI in Boston earlier today, and he made some rather impassioned arguments for favoring momentum to the Giants. And frankly, I totally understand it. I don't disagree with it. But one thing I think you're going to have to kind of like take into consideration, because I've also heard a bunch of callers today on local talk shows around here saying Patriots are beginning to get disrespected, specifically by ESPN. All right, first of all, ESPN is in the business of 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, churn of information and or infotainment. Notice I didn't say entertainment, infotainment, to you, to keep you coming back for more. And, they can't just regurgitate and recycle the same crap they feed you every day. They're going to come up with new and interesting crap to feed you today and tomorrow and the next day. And so that's what they're doing here. They're tweaking your nose. They're pulling you up next to them. They're giving you a little, gentle nudge in the ribs, and then they're flipping your nose is what they're doing. They're tweaking you. They're doing something to get a rise out of you. That's what ESPN and that's what all these, sports radio stations do. They do it just to get you to react. So, I think you just have to kind of, you have to chill just a little bit over this course of time. This is as much an exercise in patience for fans as it is for the players and the coaches and the people who will actually be involved in playing this game on February the 3rd. It's an exercise in poise and in patience, because you're going to read today, for instance, this list from 1 to 106. Please. Crazy. You're going to see something else just like that tomorrow. And you're going to see something else different the next day. And something else different the next day. And, it's going to go on and on. And then you're going to open up the New York papers, and you're going to see some player spouting off about the Patriots again. And, come on. You could set your watch by it. It's so predictable.
Boring.
You need to have things to talk about over the course of these very long days. And did I not mention this earlier this week? I think I did. That this is going to be one of the worst two-week periods that you will spend in this calendar year. Waiting, not only anticipating this football game, but just because these two teams just got through playing each other. It's like a rematch within a divisional opponent. You already know what they can or they can't do, and it's up to you to tweak things a little bit here and there. But by and large, you are going to be pretty much going up against the same team you saw a month ago or less. Okay? It's going to be, can we hurry up and play this game, all right? We know who the opponent is. See, if it were Green Bay, the one thing that would have been about Green Bay is that we would have been inundated with the Brett Favre love story, stories. But at the very least, the Patriots haven't played Green Bay this year. So we would have had a chance to go up and down their roster and look at matchups and think about, I haven't really considered that because I haven't really seen these guys play that much. Well, we've seen the Giants play. They beat Green Bay, so then that should get your attention. They're better than Green Bay. Stands to reason that the Giants will give the Patriots a better game than Green Bay would or than Dallas would have at this stage of the season. No doubt about that. But will it make it any better, any different than what we saw on December the 29th? See, I don't know. I don't know. And I guess that's really the only thing that kind of sits out there that's kind of like, I guess we got to wait to kind of play the game here. But it's just you're going to continue to see stories like this come up and down the file. And just remember what I told you. Just remember what I told you and what you're going to see and what you're going to continue to see and what they're going to talk about next week from Arizona when they're when you log on here and you want to hear what Fred and the PFW guys are talking about. They're going to be talking about a lot of the stories that are in the newspapers out there and that are in the national papers as well. And they're going to be talking about, you know, their own, you know, agenda as well, which is something they're supposed to be doing. But they're going to talk about what you want to talk about. They're going to be talking about the hot news as well as the stories within the story. And if there are rumors floating around, well, then by God, you know they're going to talk about them because that's what we do. We talk about them. So I suppose that, you know, I can understand why a fan might tend to be, somewhat perturbed or disappointed or... I don't know that I'd get any stronger word than that, over, you know, a news entity giving the Patriots an apparent lack of respect. I just, you know, honestly, don't read anything into that. All they're doing is they're playing the role of contrarian. I don't know how you cannot give a team 18-0 respect. I don't know how you can take respect away from them. I don't know how that happens. I mean... You know, fact is, Time Magazine and recently, the London Times recently, and in fact, Vic Carucci of NFL.com wrote about it this week, have put stories in their publications about the Patriots. So, I mean, if you're going to have publications like that talk about the New England Patriots... Whether, you know, it's a love-hate type of thing with the Patriots right now because of what's going on this season, then, frankly, I mean, how is that not respect? That's a ton of respect. There are going to be those out there, though, that all they want to do is they want you to click onto their site or they want you to read their newspaper or they want you to listen to what they have to say, so they're going to say something or write something relatively outlandish. That's why, you know... That's why the PFW guys all have jobs, because they like to write or say things that are outlandish. And yet, you keep coming back for more. love them anyway. They're all good guys. If they weren't good guys, it'd be easier to get away with saying stuff like that. But they're all good guys.
I am what I am, and that's all that I am.
That's right. Thank you, Andy. So here we go. Webradio@patriots.com. That's our email address, 508-543-7482. Did we determine then how many emails are left here? Do we know what the scoop is with which one's got I think we know. Okay. Well, a lot of these are left over from yesterday. See, now I'm going to have to go through this. All right, here's what we got to do then. All right, go ahead and start your emails off. We got to take a timeout here, Dan. I got to throw one right into the mix because I don't want to read emails that were already part of yesterday and Gary didn't clean out his file since he didn't. You know, he didn't come in here and set up his computer properly. So, and he left me with, you know, holding the bag, which is normally what happens around here, but that's okay. So let's do this. Let's take the time out. We'll come back and we'll continue with more. Your emails today. If you have questions, comments, concerns, criticisms, you want to say hey, you want to say nay, you want to say hi, you want to say goodbye, you want to say never want to see you again, whatever it is that you want to say, because we won't be back around until next September here in the playbook. Now's the chance right here inside Patriots Playbook.
Hey, tremendous performance. The Patriots win the AFC Championship.
Your New England Patriots are AFC champions and are off to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. And you can join them when they play for their fourth Super Bowl championship just by shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com. That's right. Go to the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com for your AFC Championship gear, and you can win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. You can get the same AFC Championship hat and t-shirt the players were wearing on the field. Check out the huge collection of AFC Champion merchandise with items like sweatshirts, ladies' tees, keychains, and many Pro Shop exclusive items that you won't find anywhere else. Can't make it to Foxborough? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and gear up for the Super Bowl and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. And remember, just for shopping at PatriotsProShop.com, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Food Master, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's, and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine, and Associate Grocers of New England, and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we got to go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 on a record pace.
Three touchdown passes in the first half.
Now Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free exclusively from the New England Patriots. This authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9920. To get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Good choice of music, Dan, by the way. Feeling a little, you know, a little old school today. I like this. This is good. All right, back inside the playbook here as we not only wrap up this week of our program, but we wrap up our season inside Patriots Playbook today. Web radio at Patriots.com. That's our email address. Russell Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, will join us in about 30 minutes from now. So you want to stay tuned for that because it'll be Russell's final appearance on the program this year as well. And we'll go through the paces of Super Bowl 42 and take a look at the matchup probably about a week before everybody else at ESPN is ready to do it. Because, you know, Russell has been spending his entire year ready to do nothing but just this. He is the one person, literally, this is no lie, Russell is the one person on that campus at ESPN in Bristol, Connecticut, of the couple of thousand employees that they have there. He is the one person whose sole job is National Football League 365, and in this case, this year, 366 days a year. He's the one person. His job is football. It may be Game 7 of the World Series, and they've got the entire network tuned in and dialed into that, but Russell's job is nope, NFL. Doesn't sound like a bad job to have, does it? All right, to the emails as promised. Jay in Rochester, New York says, John, I just started listening to your podcasts this season. I wanted to let you know how much I enjoyed the show. I tried In Progress at first as well, but I've wanted to listen to nonstop bickering. I would take my wife and kids. It's pretty good. Although somebody, the PFW regulars, they call me show killer. So, I mean, you know, that's fine. I think that's great. You know, we get to stop the chatter. I am usually disappointed we are not there due to your other commitments, but the guys who fill in bring alternate views, which can be interesting. Can't remember his name, but the student from your class who was in studio by himself with you did a great job and might be a good substitute in the future. That, by the way, is a kid by the name of Tom Anino, not Menino like the mayor of Boston, but Anino, A-N-N-I-N-O. And he just...
The generations of New England is...
No, not the mayor, although his nickname is the mayor, just because I guess his name sounds alike.
You know, 100 years, we haven't won a World Series, right? 1918. Not 100 years, but close.
Some good Menino stuff. He just sent me an email today, my student in my class. He's just been hired as the sports reporter at KFYR Television in Bismarck, North Dakota.
Rolling Rally.
Yeah. Rolling Rally right in Bismarck, North Dakota. That's pretty good for a first job out of college, don't you think? That's not bad. So he's going to be a sports reporter for KFYR in Bismarck. So those of you in Bismarck, North Dakota, or who can pick up KFYR, starting on September the 4th, you got to look for Tom Anino, okay, because he's a former, you know, co-host here inside Patriots Playbook. And he was a student of mine at Emerson College in Boston, and he's now out in the real world trying to make real money, although I don't think he's going to do it in this job in Bismarck, North Dakota. Anyway, says that Jay says, I'm sorry to hear that you'll not be on next week, but I will have to make do with the sultry sounds of Miss Acra. Oh, geez, trust me, you'll be in good hands with her. She and Brian Lowe from Patriots Today were in here in studio on Tuesday. And she's as charming as she sounds. She's every bit as good looking as she sounds. If you haven't had a chance to check out Patriots Today, the video portion of it, trust me when I say this. In person, it's just as good as it is in video. She says, oh, Jay says, by the way, have you seen her Heat cheerleader photos? Yeah, I have. Believe me, we all have. Wow, and she has a brain too. That does make it rather unique. It's a nice package there. Brain with the looks, yeah. I agree. Probably high maintenance, though, don't you think? Yeah. Oh, with all due respect, Christina, with all due respect. I mean, you know, you deserve high maintenance. I don't know. It's just me. See, 20 years ago, I would never have made that statement. But now that I'm getting up there in years, it's kind of like, I've been there, done that. It says, thanks again for a great season. I'm looking forward to your shows in the future. Jay in Rochester, thank you very much for sending the email, and I appreciate your downloading the podcasts and listening to the program when you can from time to time. And, yep, the plan is to be back again next September when the next edition of the Playbook rolls around. It'll be year 8 next year. Happy to do it. It's a lot of fun. I love talking with – first of all, I love talking with football fans, true football fans, number one. Number two – I get particular enjoyment out of doing this show with you guys because, first of all, I've been a football junkie my whole life. I grew up in a football mad state in Texas, and you know, I would have played football for as long as I could have, except for the fact that I was one of those that hit puberty late. And so, you know, I was already getting crushed by the time I was in seventh grade by my classmates. And so that's why I kind of matriculated onto basketball, because I could always hit a jump shot. But, you know, tackling in the open field was not one of my strong suits because I just couldn't catch up with the guys. Loved to play. Absolutely loved to play. And, of course, as I got older and then caught up with my classmates, you know, we played a lot of football, you know, in high school and in college and the like. I never played varsity level, but loved the sport, always have loved the sport, and will continue to love the sport. I've made most of my living writing and or talking about the sport. Al in Kuwait, who had sent in an email yesterday, says, John, thanks for reading my emails. In case you're curious, we enjoy free internet access here, but we cannot access live webcasts or live web video. We can listen to archives, however, so that's what I do in terms of your program and the equally fine, he says, PFW in Progress show. In any case, it seems I'm always trying to play catch up to the subject. I apologize for that. Al, do not ever apologize. I thank you for taking the time to download the podcast and listen to us.
Download the podcast now.
Just like Hog Hannah tells you to do. And that's why we brought it to you in a podcast form this year for the whole season for the first time, so you could have that opportunity. And believe you me, if you are listening on a podcast and you're listening to it after it's already aired live here on the website, when you send an email, just indicate that. You know, if the message is for me, you know, you're going to send it to the web radio address. Just say, you know, for John Rook, for Playbook, for whatever, you know. And that's fine. We keep all the emails here. Like I said, we read them, some of them more thoroughly than others. And the overwhelming majority we actually do, as I said, read on the air here, because that's what this show is. It is a give and take between myself and the PFW guys who cover football and cover this team for you as best as we possibly can, and we give you our opinions on the news that, you know, that creates stories in and around this football team and in and around the National Football League. And then we want you to react to, you know, what we think and our opinions. And we want to hear what your opinions are. It's give and take. It doesn't work if it's just us sitting here giving you stuff. You need to give something back in return if you want this to be a true, you know, back and forth exchange of viewpoints and ideas and opinions. That's how it works, right? So don't ever apologize for listening late. He says, in terms of yesterday's topic, which had been up for discussion on your program, the Super Bowl will always be symbolized to me by the Joe Namath joyfully waving his number one index finger after Super Bowl III. I've always loved the Patriots, of course, but Joe Willie, white shoes, will almost always clearly communicate Super Bowl to me. Al, I could not agree more. The question of the day yesterday was, you know, when you think of the term Super Bowl, what is the defining moment that pops into your head? What's the picture? What's the enduring picture that just pops into your brain the first time you hear the word or the phrase Super Bowl? And to me, well, the first one was, unfortunately, O'Brien's kick good in Super Bowl V as the Cowboys went down to defeat the Baltimore Colts, and I cried like a baby. How old was I? 10? Yeah. 10, I think. 11, maybe. Younger than my youngest son is right now. Cried like a baby. And I remember, my dad laughing at me. I was crying because my beloved Cowboys had just been beaten on a last-second field goal, 16-13, by the hated Baltimore Colts. I was crying, and he was laughing. I guess it was because he was finally realizing how seriously I took the game. I don't think my dad's laughing at me anymore now, some 40 years later almost. Dad, this is what I do for a living. Exactly. But the other enduring memory that I have is Joe Willie wagging that finger, Al. As an AFL fan, I couldn't wait for an AFL team to be good enough to challenge an NFL team in the big game. It's ironic because Namath had been just another bum on a New York team when he had lined up against the Pats in an AFL game until Super Bowl III. Like most fans of the Pats, I always hated the guy, but of course, when he and the Jets played the Colts, many of us Boston fans held our noses and rooted like hell for the Namath and the Jets. Well, of course, and Al says, he signs off, as he always does, O-T-I-S, Al. And Al, Godspeed, stay safe.
I want to kiss you.
Yeah, I got to admit, what Namath did that day is that helped pro football get to where it is right now, becoming the, in my opinion, the preeminent sport in the United States of America. It just is. It has overtaken baseball. It's overtaken baseball, I think, by a considerable amount in the last few years. Although baseball has its moments, especially around here in New England, when the Red Sox won a World Series. But I agree with that. What they did that day, even though at the time, if you were an NFL fan, you hated it. You thought it was terrible, and what's the world coming to? And oh my goodness, how could we let, you know, this fledgling startup, you know, all these inferior players and teams beat us? But really, that's what hastened, obviously, the merger between the NFL and NFL, and that's what helped the Patriots get to where they are today. Who knows if that had never happened? If that had not happened, if the Jets had not beaten the Colts in 69, who knows if the merger would have taken place? It probably would have eventually taken place, but there wouldn't have been the sense of urgency, number one. Number two, yeah, I know, it's hard to give them credit for anything, isn't it? It really is. But number two, they might have discontinued the Super Bowl. They might have just said, this experiment sucks. I mean, all 3 years, the NFL team has beaten the crap out of the AFL team. What's the point in doing this again? So we might not have seen the Super Bowl become the phenomenon that it has become if the Jets had not won that game in Super Bowl III. Steven says, he sent a quote here. Moss is the suddenly selfless receiver who knocked Chargers defensive end Luis Castillo out of the game on a clean block. ESPN said that in, okay, I guess that was in regards to something from PFW. It helps sometimes, guys, if you like, you know, let us know who you're writing to. Let's see here, which is fine. We understand that. We have to share the same stuff around here. TG in the land of the bandwagon Giants fans, he says, are the Patriots dirty players or just football players? All the accusations from Hardwick, Nick Hardwick, yes, to OCU Manure sounds a little like whining to me. I was at the last game of the season at Giants Stadium. The G-men were just as chippy as the Pats. If the Patriots are banging guys around, there's probably a reason for it. There's two sides to every story. It's just nice that we don't hear the Patriots players' side of it. Be interesting to hear from a former player about this banter. I'm sure Hannah and Tip would have an interesting take on it. In some ways, it's encouraging. There's a good possibility we could get an old-fashioned rip-their-heads-off football game if the officials let them play it. That's an interesting point of view. First of all, this kind of stuff goes on in every football game that's played, okay? From the pros right down to the peewee ranks. You get cheap shots all the time. You hear the stories, the horror stories from some guys in particular, of what happens on a pile-up if you're on the bottom of the pile going after the loose football and some guy grabbing your, you know, that's what happens. It does happen from time to time where guys, you know, eye gouging or, you know, pinching or pulling on, you know, earlobes or whatever they can grab, whatever they can get a hold of. Because all's fair in love and football. You've always heard that. So, you know, Nick Hardwick, I think, and I mentioned this on yesterday's show, TG, but I think Nick Hardwick, part of his response in calling Seymour a dirty player had to be because of the emotion of having just lost a very hard-fought football game. You know, the fact that Seymour actually took the time to sort of respond and was picked up by several news sources yesterday, ESPN being one of them, frankly was a little bit of a surprise to me. Just a little bit of a surprise. Not a lot, but I mean, you know, Seymour's the kind of guy that doesn't like to have his integrity challenged, and rightfully so. He's never given us any reason to challenge that integrity. He's been a very stand-up guy. He's been a very honest guy with all of us here in studio and all of us that cover the team on a daily basis and with the Patriots Monday guys on EEI. And I mean, he's answered everything we've ever asked of him. So, you know, for someone to call him a dirty player when he doesn't look at himself like that is he's going to come up and he's going to say something. So, but I would chalk that up largely to probably frustration over having been beaten on the field. That would, I think, have to be a good solid chunk of that. All right, Dave sends this one from Indianapolis. Guys, what's the heck going on with all these freaking sports writers? I'm reading crap for a few days about how the Giants are going to upset New England and all other kinds of BS. Is it because of all the haters out there? Cripes, I'm to the point I don't want to read any more of this drivel. The way these douche canoes are talking, the Pats have already lost the game. I'm kind of pissed off. The a-holes seem hell-bent on the thought of the Patriots losing. I wish the stinking game was this weekend. I'm already tired of hearing about the crummy Giants, and poor Eli doesn't get any respect, and as bad as Tom looked last week, and I can only hope he comes out next week and redeems himself and play at 200%. I hope the guys bring their A-plus game to Arizona and crush the Giants once and for all. I want all these haters to eat their words. I refuse to read or listen to any more of this garbage about the freaking Giants. Screw them. The Patriots are 18-0, not them. Go Pats. Apparently Dave has already succumbed to the pressure of having 2 weeks between the games.
G-Man!
By the way, the next time I hear that, I hope will be the last. So one more time. One more time. Yeah, okay. All right, there you go. I was going to give you one more time, but that's better. Yeah, let's just shoot them. Okay. Well, as I suggested earlier, Dave, I'm sure after you'd already written the email, the thought process is get used to it, all right? It's just going to happen. Everybody's done the Patriots story this year, and so the Giants are the only thing that's worth talking about because they're the underdog, and everybody loves the underdog, and everybody loves to write about the underdog. So you're going to get a lot of that. And again, it's not so much that people are hating on the Patriots. Fact is that they're just tweaking your nose. That's all they're doing. They're trying to get a rise out of you so you keep reading them or you'll keep watching them or you'll keep listening to them until we get to the freaking game. That's what they're doing. That's their job. Their job is to pull you in, and once they have you in, their job is to keep you there. That's their job. That's what our job is. We like for you to be here for the whole 2 hours. We understand that you can't possibly do that most of the time. Or some of the time. But we'd love for you to stay with us the whole 2 hours. That's the beauty of the podcast. You know? That's the beauty of it. I mean, you know, you've, somebody's going to yell something at you, or, you know, your wife's nagging you or whatever it may be. You know, you can always pause or stop and then pick it right back up again, which is great stuff. Hey, we try to help you out here, you know? I'm all for helping people out. Anyway, Gary from Syracuse. I've seen every Pats game this year, and one thing I've noticed with their defense is that they are a little soft in the middle, meaning that all of the teams that they have played, all the teams that have played them close, Jags, Eagles, Giants, Ravens, Cowboys, Browns, Colts, have been able to throw right down the middle with good success. Do you think I'm right in this assumption? And if so, what can they do to prevent this in the Super Bowl? Well, again, they've been soft in the middle for most of those games. Not all of the teams that you listed there, Gary, but I think they've been soft in the middle, so to speak, because the game plan has called for them to be that way most of the time. Yeah, not every time. There have certainly been some instances where, and I'll have to go back through my notes here and stuff to look at specific instances, but there have been times where they have not played up to their capability. I think a lot of the softness that you perceive in the middle of the defense has come in the absence of Roosevelt Colvin, because when the team had better depth in their linebacking core and they were able to keep guys fresher in that rotation, you didn't see that perceived softness. That would be my guess. But now that Colvin has been out for the year for several weeks now, you've had, and we remarked about this earlier this week, you've had, you know, Sal and Bruschi playing on the inside every snap of every game. And if you had said that that was going to happen early in the season, you certainly would have thought the Patriots would have been in trouble. And that's with all due respect to those two guys. But the fact is that they're obviously, let's just say, more experienced than others. Probably don't have quite the same zip in their step, and who does when they're their age, as you did when you were, say, 25. Nobody does. So, but you got to give those guys credit because they've made the plays, and the defense has backed them up, and they've had other guys pick up slack if they've ever needed it. What can they do to prevent it in the Super Bowl? It really depends on what they deem to be the one thing that you cannot give the Giants. Now, my own personal thought is that I do believe, again, and I mentioned this earlier this week, but I'll reiterate it here since we won't have a chance to talk about this next week, but I think that they'll pretty much game plan for the Giants the same way they did for the Week 17 game in December. What was that, on the 29th? I think they'll try to make sure that Jacobs and or Bradshaw don't gouge them to death up the middle in the running game. I still think that they'll try to make Eli Manning beat them, even though Manning has had a great end of the season. He's had three really good playoff games. He hasn't thrown a pick in the postseason. I think they feel like if we're going to lose this game, we want Manning to have the game of his life, and so they're going to make Eli Manning beat them. Because if they decide to take Manning away, but then Jacobs and Bradshaw and company guides them up the middle, see, that's going to, right there, that lends to time of possession going to the Giants, the Giants having success running the football, and that's going to give fewer opportunities to Brady and the Patriots' offense. So I feel like this is a win-win for the Patriots. All right, we're going to stop one thing that we know they know how to do and do well, and that is their run. We're going to make Manning throw the ball. We'll take our chances and maybe put Asante Samuel on Plaxico Burress, and hopefully he can handle him. We'll try to give him some safety help when we can from time to time. But even so, even if Manning does have success, we know that we're going to get the ball back and Brady's going to have a chance to do something with it. That's what I think they, for the most part, did in December, and I think that's, for the most part, what they'll plan on doing next week. But Gary, thank you for the email. All right, here we go. I like this one. This was good. Chris in the Bronx has sent us an either-or type of thing here. Quick game for you. Put the following players in order according to who's most likely to fit each topic. We've done this before, haven't we, Chris? I like when you take the time to do this stuff. This is good stuff. All right, here we go. And you should be able to play along at home or in your office or wherever you're listening to me. All right, here we go. Most likely to make a big play in the Super Bowl, Moss, Samuel, or Washington? Most likely? I'll say Moss, just because he made, obviously, the, you know, big touchdown catch, the 65-yarder against the Giants back in December. Most likely to score the first touchdown, Moss, Welker, or Maroney? Welker. Most likely to get an interception, Sanders, Harrison, Samuel. I'm going to say Samuel. Most likely to get a sack. Warren, Thomas, or Seau? Seau. I think he's been playing well enough lately. Let's give him one. Be a hell of a way to go out, wouldn't it? Most likely to catch a short pass. Kyle Brady, Spock, Heath Evans. Kyle Brady. Most likely to lead the team in reception yardage. Moss, Welker, Gaffney. Moss. Most likely to score a short yardage touchdown. Vrabel, Seau, Spock. Vrabel. Most likely to cause a fumble. Will Fork, Brewski, Samuel. Ooh, oh, good one. Most likely to cause a fumble. I'm going to say Will Fork. Longest play from the line of scrimmage. Maroney, Moss, Stallworth. Even better. I have to go with Moss on that one. Okay, so there you go. Chris in the Bronx, thanks for sending that. That's awesome. Like that. You can send those anytime you want. I like playing those games. Karen in Scituate, Rhode Island. Hello, Karen. I'm very concerned about this Super Bowl, she says. To me, the Giants are on a roll, and they've embraced the underdog role and are getting better with each playoff game. I don't think the Patriots are getting better. They looked okay against Jacksonville, and if Jacksonville had better receivers, that game could have been very different. The game against the Chargers was shaky at best. I thought Tom Brady was awful. He looked detached and out of it from the very beginning of the game. Now he's hurt. That's not going to help. If San Diego had some of their key starters, I think the Patriots would have been beaten. I sensed no joy from the Patriots in their AFC championship. To me, it seems they are tired. No energy. Am I just a paranoid New England fan, or is there anything to this? Dan, how should we answer her?
I think she's paranoid.
Yeah, I think so, too. Karen, lighten up, Francis. We're laughing not at you, Karen. We're laughing with you. I was hoping that we'd get, you know, some of this Red Sox paranoia to creep in, to, you know, kind of creep into the occasion around here as far as the Patriots are concerned. We need a good dose of Red Sox paranoia around here, and I think we just got it. So, Karen, I'm very grateful to you for that because it's just not New England unless we have some paranoia here. Ah! You know? let's see. First of all, the Giants have embraced the underdog role. They are getting better with each playoff game. But I would concur, and I think the track record will bear this out, even though we've had some real success, in, at least in the last 10 years, with wild card teams not only advancing, but, yes, we've had, what, three or four, actually win Super Bowls. But having the extra week off I don't think helps the Giants at all. It either really does help them or it really hurts them. And we're obviously time will tell when we get up on the field and we figure it all out. But I think it can just as easily hurt them. Patriots getting better? Well, I think all things are relative. I mean, teams are playing them tougher. Are they getting worse? I don't know. I think teams have learned how to play the Patriots. I think teams have learned how to stay close to the Patriots, but they haven't learned how to beat them yet now, have they? If Jacksonville had better receivers, the game would have been very different. Well, but they don't. If San Diego had some of their key starters, the Patriots would have been beaten. Well, they didn't. I mean, they had all of their starters with the exception of LaDainian Tomlinson, and there are those that would tell you that Michael Turner, in a lot of ways, is every bit as good between the tackles as Tomlinson is. I mean, he's the highest paid backup running back of the entire NFL. So, you know, what do you mean if they had some of their key starters, the Patriots would have been beaten? I don't see that. They had all their starters. And you sensed no joy from the Patriots in their AFC championship. Well, it's because these guys have been there, done that. They're not tired. They don't. It's not that they don't have energy. It's just you're not going to see the same outward enthusiasm for, you know, winning an AFC championship as they did, say, oh, I don't know, back in 1995 or 96, rather. You're just not going to see it because this isn't new and different and untraveled or uncharted territory. This is a veteran team in which half the roster has been to the Super Bowl before. So I don't think it's a matter of no joy. I think it's a matter of just veteran leadership is all it is. Guys who have been there. You know, you heard the phrase, Karen, you know, act like you've been there before. That's exactly what the Patriots are doing. They're acting like they've been there before because they have been. So, yeah, I think you're just a little paranoid. Chill out. We'll be fine. Matt from Springfield. I wonder how much LT got paid for that three-hour-long Vizio commercial. I imagine him trying to play, saying to himself, man, this ain't working out. Then him racing to the bench, grabbing his coat, prized helmet, sitting down, and then saying to himself, better, like he does in his commercial. Also, don't get me wrong here. I love Tom Brady, but I have some man issues with him. Listen, Tom, you just finished playing a tough game in which you were banged up. You're hurt, sore. Tell that leopard panty-wearing, size 4 jean-wearing, picture-posing chick to come visit you. I don't care if she's got a photo shoot in the morning. You need the pampering, Tom. You need the flowers. Besides, you're Tom freaking Brady. That's good.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. That's excellent. Speaking of which, I'm not one to talk and don't know the situation, but I would be trying to spend just a little time with my baby boy instead of running to Giselle every chance I got. I would be running to my boy with a little time that I had or have him nearby. Jet will be just a baby for so long, so I just can't think. I just think you cannot let that kind of stuff pass you by. Then again, I don't know if maybe Bridget is being difficult or whatever, but that's just what I would do. All right, there you go. Thank you, Matt from Springfield, for your 2 cents worth. By the way, I want to also say thank you to Amy from the UK, because Amy has been kind enough to send her pictures to the PFW guys, of which I'm also privy to. I can't answer the questions about the gay guy in your picture there for you, Amy. But you're right. You ain't no Paul. You do a good job. Good job out of you, Amy, is all I'm going to tell you. Good job out of you. Nice pictures. I appreciate that. Here we go. Joshua sends this. It's got a bunch of tags and stuff on it here. I got to go through this a little bit. What is all of this that you sent? Goodness gracious.
It's that list of
106. Oh, it's the list of 106 is what he sent me. Okay. Okay. Well, you know what? We've kind of gone through that, Josh, and I kind of ripped it apart into two shreds. So, unfortunately, there we go. We'll kind of leave it at that. Scott from Washington, D.C. says, John, thanks for another great season of Patriots Playbook. Enjoy the game. Have a great offseason. Scott, I thank you for that. You're one of the regular emailers, and you always have something good to offer, and it's greatly appreciated. Vince sends this email. He says, hey, I just began tuning in this past week after the Pats win over the Chargers. I mainly decided to tune in because I live in New Jersey and am tired of listening to the Giants fans on WFAN. First, I have been a Pats fan since 71, when Jim Plunkett and Randy Vataha first came to the Pats from Stanford. Always loving the underdog. Vataha fit the bill. So I love to mention that story to people who think I am a front runner. Now for my question. Super Bowl questions aside, what is the talk around the Pats signing Randy Moss to a longer-term contract? Well, Vince, first of all, we're glad that you found us. Better late than never. We're glad that you're with us. Unfortunately, I won't be with you next week after the guys take off for Arizona, since this is our last program again of the calendar year, or not of the calendar year, of the football season. But we'll be back again next September when the next season rolls around inside the playbook for you. At any rate, to answer your question, we've been talking quite a bit. Everything that we've said on this particular subject is sheer conjecture. It's all opinion. It's not based on anything anybody said to anybody else or any kind of conversations that we might have been privy to or might have overheard roaming the hallways here at Gillette Stadium. It's just based on general knowledge of the subject in particular. The thought process is that because Randy Moss seems to have enjoyed himself and enjoyed his season, and obviously he's going to enjoy it a heck of a lot more if 2 weeks from now we're talking about a parade and he's talking about getting a big ring on his finger, okay? That signs are pointing to a guy who has made his money for the most part in the league, and now what he wants is a legacy and he wants a championship, and so he would be willing to come back in that regard simply because, well, where else is he going to really get that opportunity? Now, because of the season he had with, you know, the touchdown catches and all, as a free agent, could he go out there and claim more money? Sure, I think that's entirely possible. But I think Moss, by everything that we've heard from him this year and by all indications that he's given us both with his words and his actions, that's not exactly what he's looking for. So in this case, my guess is that the Patriots will ask Randy, okay, do you want to come back? And if you do, how can we make it work? And they'll try to find a way to make it work. And whether it's not for a year or 2 years or what have you, they will make it work as long as they can make it work for the team, which is first and foremost. But I think most everybody seems to believe There are very few people I've talked to that don't think Randy Moss won't come back. Okay? Most everybody does think he will. Now, as for some of the other players, well, you know, guy like Stallworth maybe, you know, Asante Samuel, some of the others that are, you know, impending free agents, it's a different story. And the Patriots will have some very difficult decisions to make. They always do. You know, there is never a year in which the team stays completely intact from one year to the next. That just does not happen. First of all, you're going to bring in rookies to begin with, and there's always a few good rookies that end up making your team. And there's always a few players that either retire or they go on or they go, you know, pick up another paycheck or what have you. There's always coming and going, and it will happen. There will be turnover with this team, no matter how much you want to hold on to this team. Because if this team does win Super Bowl 42, it will go down as the greatest single-season team in professional sports history. Not just the NFL. It'll go down as that as well. But I'm talking about all of professional sportsdom. This Patriots team is going to be right up there at the top. And I don't know how you could keep them off that list because of what they've done in this season. So no matter how much you want to hold on to that and how much you want to bring it back, it's not going to happen. It just doesn't happen. It's almost impossible. This one's from M in Laconia, New Hampshire. In response to Karen, when Reddit Air put out an oil well fire in the Middle East, do you think that he celebrated? Hell no. He got on with his work, and he went to the next, and the next, and the next. Business as usual. It's absolutely correct. Thanks, M, for sending that. No, I mean, when you win, or in this particular instance, like Reddit Air, and that's actually a pretty good analogy. You know, when you keep winning, you know, you don't celebrate with the same vim and vigor as you did the first time. You know, you learn from it and you move on and you know what it takes to get to that point again. And so you try to follow that path. That's all it is. You go to the next and to the next and the next. Business as usual. B-A-U. All right. Thanks for the email. All right. Let's pause here for a timeout again. And then we'll have Russell Baxter from ESPN, NFL Research Coordinator, coming up. We'll continue with your emails. If you want to send them on, please do so. Webradio@patriots.com. By the way, I should also mention that if you have a specific question for Russell, we haven't really had much of a chance because his time frame has been somewhat short with us on Thursdays when he's visited with us. But since we have some extra time here on the program today, if you have an email question for Russell, now's the time to fire it off. Okay, we can't wait until he's already gone and then I'm reading all these emails that are just trickling in. If you got a question for Russell on the Super Bowl matchup or something else going on in the NFL, get it going right now. Webradio@patriots.com is where you send the questions. And we'll talk about Super 42 coming up in just a moment.
A tremendous performance. The Patriots win the AFC Championship.
Your New England Patriots are AFC champions and are off to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. And you can join them when they play for their fourth Super Bowl championship just by shopping at the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com. That's right. Go to the Patriots Pro Shop or PatriotsProShop.com for your AFC Championship gear, and you can win a trip for two to the Super Bowl. You can get the same AFC Championship hat and t-shirt the players were wearing on the field. Check out the huge collection of AFC Champion merchandise with items like sweatshirts, ladies' tees, keychains, and many Pro Shop exclusive items that you won't find anywhere else. Can't make it to Foxborough? Log on to PatriotsProShop.com and gear up for the Super Bowl and get your Pats merchandise directly from the source. And remember, just for shopping at PatriotsProShop.com, you will be entered to win a trip for two to Super Bowl 42. The Patriots Pro Shop at Gillette Stadium is open Monday through Sunday leading up to the Super Bowl.
When you've got a lineman-sized hunger and want the awesome, authentic taste of Gillette Stadium at your tailgate or right at home, tackle that appetite with Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Try Sac Attack sausages, first down franks, or Patriots brats in a wide variety of flavors at home, at the stadium, or at the game. And get your crowd cheering for Gridiron Grillers. They're great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are all you'll need for the perfect tailgate or home barbecue. Check out all of the Patriots Gridiron Grillers. Mild and hot Sac Attack sausages, Patriots cheese brats and beer brats, first down franks and more. Patriots Gridiron Grillers go great on the grill. Gridiron Grillers are available at Big Y, Demoulas Market Basket, Hannaford, Johnny's Foodmaster, Roach Brothers Sudbury Farm, Shaw's and Stop and Shop, and distributed by Agar, Associated Grocers of Maine and Associate Grocers of New England and CNS Wholesale. Patriots Gridiron Grillers, when you just can't wait for Sunday.
All right, Jimmy, it's the big day, and we gotta go. Patriots kick off in an hour. Let's make sure we got everything.
All right, let's see. Face paint.
Check.
Helmets.
Check.
Foam fingers.
Check.
Jerseys.
Check.
Checks.
Check.
Check card.
Check.
That's everything.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo!
Let's go, Pats! Let's go, Pats! Let's go!
Check, check, check. That's right. If you really are a true Patriots fan, then you need to open a New England Patriots checking account from Bank of America today. You'll get checks, check cards, and even bank statements, all with the official New England Patriots logo. Bank of America is the official bank of the New England Patriots. So take advantage of this opportunity to make every day game day.
Let's go, Pats!
Woo! And sign up for a New England Patriots checking account today. Bank of America. Bank of Opportunity.
Bank of America N.A. Member FDIC. New England Patriots trademarks, including the Patriots logo, are the property of New England Patriots L.P. and are used pursuant to a licensing agreement with New England Patriots L.P. 2007 Bank of America Corporation. All rights reserved.
He's been a three-time champion, two-time Super Bowl MVP, and kicked off 2007 with record
touchdown passes in the first half.
Now, Tom Brady has signed official Patriots mini replica helmets, and you can get one free. Exclusively from the New England Patriots, this authentic mini helmet comes complete with chin strap, face mask, and Tom Brady's autograph. Perfect for every Patriots fan. To take advantage of this incredible one-of-a-kind offer, all you need to do is make qualifying transactions on your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card. Plus, with your card, you'll earn Patriots Extra Points redeemable for once-in-a-lifetime Patriots experiences, pregame field passes, memorabilia, merchandise, tickets, and much more. Don't wait. Apply at PatriotsExtraPoints.com or call 1-800-NFL-9929 to get your Bank of America Patriots Extra Points Visa card and a free official mini replica helmet autographed by Tom Brady. Patriots Extra Points, because fans want contact too. Autographed mini helmet limited to those making a qualifying purchase. See details at PatriotsExtraPoints.com.
Hour number two inside Patriots Playbook. Our final show for the 2007 football season. I'm John Rook. I'm reading through Vic Carucci's column on NFL.com. I mentioned it in the opening hour of the program today, but the one he was talking about how the Patriots are either the new America's team or they are officially public enemy number one. I didn't realize that a lot of this stuff was out there. But he says here in his piece, there are anti-Patriots websites and blogs. There's even a blog that sells a T-shirt for $15.95 professing one's hatred for the Pats. Are you kidding? Really? Aware of any of this? I guess I'm naive. Maybe I just don't spend my time searching blogs and sites for anti-Patriot sites. I guess I wasn't really aware of that. And I'm sure that, you know, there's all kinds of things out there that, you know, whether you love somebody or you hate somebody, there's always something that's going to be out there to attract. But I was not aware of any of this. So I'd be interested to if you've run across them in your own particular internet surfing travels. Send us a note here, webradio@patriots.com. I'd like to kind of see some of them and what they have to say and whether or not they're actually legitimate or if it's just people just kind of spouting off steam in particular. I didn't realize that this hip-hop guy from Los Angeles released a song called Patriots Hater. Among the lyrics, the coach, he's a jerk, got the whole country hating on him. We know you cheat, Bill Belichick. Well, that's riveting stuff, isn't it? That's Grammy Award-winning stuff there. Oh, wow. I had no idea, no clue. Again, I guess bury my head in the sand. I mean, I realize that there are people out there like that, but I just had no idea. Okay, so there you go. No Russell yet, huh? Able to find him? You left him a message? Okay. All right, did you try his home phone, too? Should be in there. Try that one as well, and because he might be there since this is the week before the week, so he could be at home. At any rate, we did mention in the opening hour of the program the fact that this team is going to have a send-off here at Gillette Stadium on Sunday for you. If you're in the New England area, especially in the southern New England area, you want to travel down this way to Gillette Stadium, 10 a.m. this Sunday, January the 27th, here inside the stadium. Massachusetts Governor Deval Patrick is sponsoring this send-off celebration for the Patriots on to Arizona. All Patriots fans are invited to see the team off in style prior to their departure. The entire team will be here. Head coach Bill Belichick will be here. Owner Robert Kraft will be here. Fans will be allowed to get in the parking lot at 9 a.m. For the 10 a.m. send-off celebration inside the stadium. There will not be tailgating allowed, unfortunately, in the parking lots on Sunday. So don't bring the grills, don't bring the cookers, because they're not going to let you do that. That's not what this apparently is for. But they will let you inside the stadium to see off the team. And should also mention as well that, there are many of you, I know, that don't have an opportunity to come to football games because you either can't get the tickets or you can't afford them for whatever reason. This is free and open to the public. So bring the kids, bring the families, bring the neighbors' kids, whatever you like, for your shot at sending off the Patriots in grand style to Arizona for Super Bowl 42. That's this Sunday again. Parking lots open up here at Gillette at 9 a.m. for the 10 a.m. send-off celebration. So there you go. That's good stuff. We like that. They did this the last time before the Super Bowl 2-3 years ago, and looks like it's beginning to become a bit of a tradition, I would assume. Webradio@patriots.com, again, is our email address. Coming up, in fact, in just a little bit here on the program, we did mention, of course, there is some news to tell you about today where the team is concerned. They got back to work today. After having a few days off following the AFC Championship win over San Diego, this team did return to practice today. In fact, they're wrapping it up as we speak out of the practice bubble just outside the Gillette Stadium grounds here. And we did have a chance to speak with Wes Welker, Ellis Hobbs, Richard Seymour, and Junior Seau. So we will bring you those interviews coming up here in approximately 20 minutes. So that is on the agenda here for the playbook today. And you know what? The players are the ones that are going to be playing in this game. The players are the ones that got back to work today after having a couple of days off. And now between today and, what, next Friday or Saturday, every day in some form or fashion is going to be a work day specifically on game planning for the New York Giants in the Super Bowl. So why shouldn't the players themselves tell you what they're going through and what they're looking forward to and how they're going to handle this or how they're going to handle that? That's what they're going to do. So we'll bring you those interviews coming up here in about 20 to 30 minutes right here inside the playbook. And we'll let you hear from those particular players who we got a chance to speak with today. I noticed also a couple of other stories from around the NFL that I can't say it's a huge surprise to me, to be honest with you. But I'm listening in the car radio today, and I don't remember if it was on XM or whatever it was that I'm listening to, because I definitely like to go with the XM all over the place. But it was a story on the Dolphins and their new regime. In fact, Jeff Ireland, who is their new general manager, his quote was, "We're open for business." And apparently this is a quote that he told the NFL Network yesterday, but apparently the Dolphins now have decided that they will allow offers for the number one draft pick. Does that come as a shock to you? What it tells me is that what they've done between Jeff Ireland and of course, Bill Parcells in particular, they've decided that, you know what, we've got so many things to tend to and so many needs to get to, that just having one player, even though he may be the best player overall in the draft at number one, we need bodies in here. We need people. We need players.
Yoo-hoo! Baxter!
So we'll see if, of course, there is a team that is going to be able to sing the Dolphins' magic number and make a bid for the number one pick. Russell Baxter, who is the NFL research coordinator for ESPN, joins us here inside the playbook. I'm sorry that I did not get a chance to speak with you last week, Russell. I hope you didn't think we stiffed you or anything.
Oh, no, no. And it was very disappointing, but because I picked Patriots 21, Chargers 12, and I picked the Giants to win in overtime.
You can say that now, right? Yeah, exactly.
The funny thing is I actually thought the Giants were going to overtime last week.
Did you really?
Yeah, there was something about it. I thought, I'm not saying I necessarily thought that the Giants were going to win the game. I did not. I gave them a more than fighting chance, mainly because once you get the momentum going that they have, that's just how this league is now. I mean, we've seen two times in the last 3 years now, John, that a team has won three straight road games to get to the Super Bowl.
Yeah.
What the 85 Patriots did was for a long time an anomaly. Now, here we go again. Remember, this is the third year in a row that a team is going to play 20 games with a chance to win the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm. That is correct.
Yeah. The Colts last year, even though they weren't a wild card, it still took them 20 games to win it.
That's right.
The Steelers, of course. So maybe this, maybe we just need to extend the season.
No.
Yeah.
Okay, if you say so. But I guess I have to think, at least right off the top, that, you know, because of the track record, and I spent a little of the time in the opening hour of the program talking about this, but because of the track record that, you know, wild cards now having success and teams going on the road and winning three straight, does that speak to, what does that exactly speak to? Does it speak to parity? Does it speak to ability? Does it speak to teams just kind of getting over the hump and not having that fear anymore? What does it speak to, do you think?
I think it speaks to two things. I think it speaks to the fact that I believe this in all sports, as the way the landscape is set up across professional and college sports right now. Winning now, when you're expected to win, is a relief, not something to be celebrated.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's not me saying that. This is just how I think it's treated. When you're expected to win and you don't, the consequences of the criticism is overwhelming. I mean, think about the NFC, John. The last 4 years, half the conference has been in the NFC title game.
Mm-hmm.
Half, with no repeaters. You think about the wild cards, not only in the National Football League. What about baseball?
Yeah.
What about the teams that don't have best records getting to the NBA Finals, the NHL, the NCAA tournament, college football, the curse of the number two this year, et cetera, et cetera? I think there is so much overwhelming pressure put on from a lot of different entities now, media and fan-wise, that to a degree, I think all athletes have rabbit ears.
Mm-hmm.
And the relief of winning when you're expected to win is, what can you say about it? You just don't see the joy necessarily, you know. And if a team loses when they're expected to win, you know, the word choke comes out 5 minutes after it happens.
Right.
And I think there's a big part of that that goes on now with our society in terms of athletes and games, and especially more professional in college, but you see it in college as well.
Right.
Dream teams that aren't dreamy in other sports and so on. It just happens. The other part of that is it speaks to the excellence of the New England Patriots. Because while we're talking about the last 4 years in the NFC sending eight different teams to the conference title game, the Patriots have been in three of those in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
The Steelers have been in two, and no one else has been in more than one. It just shows to their excellence. And in this age of free agency, the more modern free agency in the 2000s and so on, now that everybody knows how it works and they got 7 or 8 years to figure it out, you know, what the Patriots have done is quite impressive. They're a contender every year. They've been in the playoffs 6 of the last 7 years. They've had a winning season every one of those years. You know, the Colts to a degree as well. The Steelers to a degree as well, but not to the degree of the New England Patriots. And there's a lot to be said for that. And the Patriots have done it. You know, we're going to go back, you know, if the Patriots win the Super Bowl, and of course they're expected to, you're going to go back and people start comparing the dynasties of the 70s, the 80s, the 90s, and now the thousands and so on, and showing how these teams are built and how they've done it, the way they've done it, and so on. And while I wouldn't put the Patriots perhaps in the class of the 70 Steelers, they're an awful lot like – they're like a combination of the 70 Steelers and the 80s 49ers, because the Niners, of course, won their 4 Super Bowls over a 9-year span and did it by changing personnel.
So
the Patriots have done their share of changing personnel. The 70 Steelers pretty much did it with the same team when they won 4 times in 6 years.
So you wouldn't put the Patriots in the category of the 70 Steelers?
Well, no, in the terms of how they are built.
Okay.
Okay?
Mm-hmm.
In the terms of how they are built. I mean, if they win 4 in 7 years, obviously that conversation has to come up and so on. The edge I give to the 70 Steelers is this, though. And I know people are going to say, well, they had a whole bunch of Hall of Famers. Well, they didn't have a bunch of Hall of Famers when they drafted them. They became Hall of Famers because of what they accomplished.
Mm-hmm.
The difference over the 70 Steelers. Now, you know, the Patriots win this year and win next year, and then it's 5 in 8 years. Then we got to talk in a whole different stratosphere. To me, the difference with the 70 Steelers is a couple things. A, the fact that it was really the same team. I want to say it was almost 23 or 24 guys played in all four Super Bowls. It was, you know, the same backfield combination, the same receivers for the most part, and so on. It was really the same team. Second, the Steelers repeated twice in that decade. They won 9-10, they won 13-14. And I think the thing that, to me, is the most impressive about what those 70 Steelers did, and this is nothing the Patriots can do anything about, it's just the age that we play in, is the 70s won, the Steelers won two back-to-back Super Bowls, winning the old-fashioned way before the rules changes, and then the first two after they changed the rules. In other words, they played ball control and defense. The NFL changed the rules in 1978, and the Steelers won the two Super Bowls by having a little more wide-open offense and playing a different style of defense.
Mm-hmm. Well, as you'd like to take a look then at these two teams and their and the respective merits, and the fact is that these teams just played each other a little less than a month ago, and we made the analogy this week, Russell, that frankly it's a little like game planning again for a divisional opponent the second time around, which is going to make these 2 weeks, I think, seem even longer than they normally are in a regular Super Bowl year. So as you take a look at these relative strengths and weaknesses of these teams, is there anything in your estimation that either team can do that would greatly change their fortunes?
Well, John, if you really think about it, these teams should be really kind of sick of each other, mainly because it's actually the third time
they've played, right,
that they played this year. Mm-hmm. Now, I know we don't really count the preseason,
but they played the last game of the preseason, the last game of the regular season, and now the last game of the postseason,
right, which means we should just put them both over in the Pro Bowl and make it real easy.
Yeah.
And so on. And we should be able to go, by the way.
Yeah, I definitely agree with that. In fact, you know, people say, you know, oh, you know, you're not going to go to the Super Bowl. Well, because I have a lot of college basketball duties, as I know you're very well familiar with. But the fact is that if I had my choice between the two, I think I'd rather go to Hawaii.
Oh, sure. And then you could.
All due respect to Arizona. You
but
know?
Here's the beauty. And here's the beauty of going to Hawaii. You'd be watching the game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Yeah, baby, that's great, isn't it?
You'd be watching the game at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Although that's prime beach time. I don't know, you know? I don't know.
You're watching the game on the beach at 1 o'clock in the afternoon.
Okay, all right, okay, that's better.
All right. And by the way, after the game's over, more than enough time to go do something else.
Yes, that's true.
That's the beauty of five-hour time difference. Anyway, back to the game. I don't know what more different can be done. You know, obviously, the best thing I think that helps both these teams, and I think more so the Patriots than the Giants, is that 2 weeks rest. You know, with the Patriots being, they're not old fogies, but the defense, which has more veteran players, and also the mental wear and tear of the season for both teams in two different regards. The mental wear and tear for the Patriots, because mentally doing what they've accomplished going 18-0,
mm-hmm.
Just go back off the top of what we were talking about at the top of the show. You know, the expectations. Now, I mean, they didn't plan on, but you don't have to go undefeated to win the Super Bowl. You do have to go undefeated in order to go undefeated and be the only 19-0 team in NFL history. That has worn on them. I have little doubt about it because they hear about it every waking day. For the Giants, the wear and tear of three straight road games, and in all parts of the country. I mean, they've been in Florida, they've been in Texas, they've been in frozen Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm.
So that 2 weeks helps them. I think that's the biggest difference that both these teams can adjust, will be adjusting to, is just getting time to get refreshed. You know, in this day and age with film study, with the way full NFL is a full-time business now, there's just really not any surprises that go on anymore. So to me, the big advantage for both these teams in this bye week is just getting a little healthier and a little stronger.
Yeah, I would guess so. And obviously, we've had and you've seen the pictures of Tom and his foot in the boot and all that stuff. And now apparently he did not, at least for the media portion of the practice that began today here at Gillette, he was not present for that. So it wouldn't shock me at all to see Brady continue to just kind of hold out and not take part in any kind of drills until they get to Arizona and they actually begin the on-field game planning for the Giants. Because like I said, they know what they need to do to beat New York. It's just a matter of execution.
I don't think there's any question about it. They've already beaten this team. The Giants gave them an excellent game. There's no question about it. The Giants were able to move the ball against them. The Giants were able to get a kickoff return against them, which probably of all the things this year, that's probably the most surprising, because year after year, the Patriots special teams are so good. But, you know, it's a game that kind of jump-started the Giants to where they are right now.
Mm-hmm.
And for the Patriots, it was that chance to make a little mini history. You know, Brady with the 50th touchdown pass, Moss with the 23rd touchdown reception, the first 16-0 regular season. But now down to business, and the Patriots have proven so far that against Jacksonville and a near-perfect game in terms of completion percentage, and I got a funny story to tell you about that, against the Jaguars. And last week where they didn't necessarily play their best, I'm sure the conditions had something to do with it, but finding a different way to win, to beat a San Diego team that had a lot of momentum off their upset at the Indianapolis Colts. And for the Giants, what can you say about them? You know, Eli Manning has now gone from he doesn't look like he cares to calm, cool, and unflappable.
Right, right.
He hasn't changed his facial expression.
No.
But now that he's in the Super Bowl, he's become calm, cool, and unflappable.
Mm-hmm.
Instead of he doesn't care and he doesn't look interested.
Right. Although we've gotten a few emails from fans, especially today, thinking the Patriots aren't interested because of their calm and cool demeanor in the locker room after the AFC Championship game. And I'm like, no, hold on a second. It's just, you know, a case of been there, done that. They're, you know, they're acting like they've been there before because they have, you know.
What kind of locker room
I think they know themselves pretty well. I mean, you've got 20 of these guys who have actually played. The guys on the active roster, 20 of them have actually played in Super Bowls. There's a couple of the guys on the roster, like Adalius Thomas, who was with the Ravens in Super Bowl 35, but he was inactive.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Roosevelt Colvin, who played in one of the Super Bowls, but is now going to miss a second one because he's on IR. It happened to him a couple years ago as well. So even the guys who have not necessarily, quote-unquote, played in the game itself, you've got guys who are around to support guys who have been to Super Bowls as well. And that's a big, big advantage for a Giant team that really only has a handful of guys, like Michael Strahan, and Amani Toomer, and Gray Rugemer, who I think was with the Patriots, I believe, 1 year
yes,
when they
was.
Went.
Correct.
As far as their Super Bowl playing experience.
Mm-hmm. Are you in and amongst the club of folks, I guess, from your network at least, it seems to be of lately, that gives the Giants more than just a puncher's chance in this one?
Well, yeah, I do. Of course I do, because I think when you're at this stage of the game, everybody does. And here's what we know about the Patriots. If it's a Super Bowl and they win, it's by three. Although I don't think that's what's going to happen this time.
I think for that fact alone, there are Patriots fans that are absolutely rooting for a rout because of that.
Oh, I'm sure they are. You know what's funny? The five closest Super Bowls, four of them have been either played by the Patriots or the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, nobody played a closer the Super Bowl than the Giants did.
That was
as you well know,
25, right?
Right.
Yep.
You know, there was Baltimore 16, Dallas 13, and then all three of the Patriots by a field goal. I mean, there's been five of them decided by a field goal or less, and four have either been Patriots or Giants.
Yeah, I told the story earlier. That's why my one enduring memory of the Super Bowl is O'Brien kicking that field goal, and I cried like a baby.
Yeah, yeah. And that was the great, you know, it's only recently that we've had, you know, with the exception of Baltimore and the Giants and Tampa Bay, Oakland, you know, most of the Super Bowls, be it the Patriots in them or not, I mean, have been competitive games. Denver and Green Bay, you know, 10 years ago was a great game. In the rain last year, even though the Colts had a, you know, decisive advantage as 4 yards, they really didn't put the Bears away until late. You know, Pittsburgh kind of dawdled with Seattle as well. I mean, that was a competitive game. So in this era of free agency and competitive balance, if those are the terms you want to use, the Super Bowls have been more competitive as well. You know, not everyone's 55-10 or 46-10 anymore.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. Should we be surprised that we don't see more Super Bowls like that, like we used to?
I won't be surprised. And the score I know I have in mind for this is it might be a little on the decisive edge as well. But I just think that's the teams are a lot closer than they are. And the Patriots have played a different kind of football during the second half of the season than they did in the first half of the season for a lot of different reasons. Now, weather has had something to do with it. Weather is not going to be a factor, obviously, in Arizona, not inside the biodome there and so on.
Right.
So that's that plays into what I'm thinking as well. you know, the Patriots have done a lot of adjusting, and teams have also done a lot of adjusting to what the Patriots did this year as well. So I keep on hearing people, the worst thing they can say about the New England Patriots as of late is they haven't covered a lot of their games.
That's true.
I mean, that's an awful hindrance to a legacy, you know? Just awful.
Should
they
it
haven't
be,
covered.
Should it be
I got
a hindrance?
News for you. If you win every game by one, you can go undefeated.
That's true. But should that be a hindrance? The fact is that they haven't, you know, covered the spread, so to speak?
Well, I don't think so, because I think what they did in the beginning of the year was so amazingly overwhelming. And as they turned out, they did finish with a point differential of 315, mm-hmm. which is pretty amazing. You know, the largest in NFL history.
Right.
You know, although there are teams that have played fewer games, and by game it would be more per game, so it's not the per game record. But, you know, I think people saw they won by three beating Baltimore and Philadelphia and the Giants and so on, and that's not unusual. You know, it's hard to keep up. Remember when the Rams exploded on the scene in 1999?
Mm-hmm.
It's not like they didn't have their struggles in the playoffs. I know they blew out Minnesota, but they played Tampa Bay and beat them 11-6. And then it came down to a tackle in the Super Bowl as well. So that was a team that was lighting everybody up. And it's hard to sustain that type of explosiveness. Oh, that's why most of these teams who have scored a lot of points in a season, John, have not won the title. It's a hard pace to keep up. It's like being Loyola Marymount and playing that way for 6 months. You just can't do it all the time.
Yeah. Okay. Got a couple of emails I want to share here with you, if that's all right
okay.
with you. This one comes from Andrew in Maryland. He says, it's my first time writing. I have only 10 minutes to write this email because I'm in between classes here in Maryland, but I did want to write you guys in hopes that I could hear my email on your great show before you guys go off the air for the off season. I've enjoyed the show immensely over the course of the season. Just got into through my obsessive Patriots.com use. I haven't been able to listen to today's show because I've been in class, but I'm sure you're offering great insights as always. Well, you obviously knew what time we were on the air anyway. It does say here... where are we here? Okay. I believe our secondary may be, in fact, be our weakest area simply by the fact that our front four and our linebacking core have been playing so strong. But let us not get bogged down in being impressed by Phillip Rivers or Eli's play over the course of those couple of games. Do we not remember that Rivers threw no touchdowns and two interceptions against this supposedly shaky secondary? Do we not remember Ellis Hobbs sealing the deal on the Giants game with a crucial interception? Despite giving up 200-yard games, our secondary always makes plays when it has to, and I believe Super Bowl 42 will be no different. Any thoughts in particular on the Patriots' secondary being a quote-unquote weak link?
That's kind of news to me.
Yeah.
I that's not something I've deciphered. I think... You know, when you attack the New England Patriots, you like to attack them over the middle. And a lot of that has to do with getting behind their linebackers and in front of their secondary, not necessarily behind their secondary. So passing yards is always a lousy indicator of a secondary, as you well know, John.
Yeah, I know.
That's how we rate defenses, is just based on yards. Last time I checked, the Patriots didn't give up a touchdown last week.
No, they didn't.
So that must be pretty good.
I would think so.
They did give up their share of some big plays, and most of them, again, over the middle, very much like when they played Philadelphia and so on. You saw them take advantage of that. But I don't, you know, when you have Asante Samuel back there, you mentioned Ellis Hobbs, who's come up with a couple timely interceptions this year. I don't look at their secondary as an issue.
Well,
I think the biggest issue you can get with them on pass defense is maybe getting a back lined up on maybe one of the linebackers.
Yeah.
But I don't know if the Giants, other than – Ahmad Bradshaw, who they really don't utilize him that much in the passing game, can really take advantage of that.
Well, here's the perception, I think, Russell, which is where I think the majority of Patriots fans who have this criticism are coming from. Fact is that during some of these games in which they have been relatively close, that the Patriots defense has given up the perception that they are soft or softer in the linebacking core and in the secondary. And my point was sort of twofold. Number one, I think part of that is because that was the way the Patriots were designed to defense that particular opponent, to give them what they thought would be their best chance to win the game. That's number one. And number two, while there might have been some mistakes made, frankly, the the opponents, a lot of the opponents in the latter half of the season, have learned how to at least keep it close, if not beat the Patriots. They so far haven't been able to beat them, even though they have kept it close.
The more you play, the more opportunities you get to learn what your opponent does. And that's exactly what's happened with New England. I mean, that's why the scores have gotten closer, because people are adjusting constantly in the NFL. Wait till this offseason of how much school people are going to go to on what New England did offensively this year. They did it with Randy Moss when he was a rookie. The Vikings were totally different after his rookie year. They still scored points, but they were a totally different football team, because people adjust after a while. That's why the NFL, after a while, tweaks its own rules, because eventually defenses adjust as well. So I think New England's a pretty smart football team. I think Bill Belichick knows his strengths and weaknesses as about as anyone. And to me, the only concern I've had about New England's defense all year has been the age at linebacker. Right? To me, and you know, maybe it's safety as well with Rodney Harrison, who as usual has kind of saved his best football for the postseason. But I'll reiterate my point. The New England secondary is a weakness. I just don't see it.
One other email here has a little bit of a different subject matter to go to. Jerry, who says he's a longtime Pats fan, transplanted to New York State. Can you explain approximately how players and coaches are compensated for playoff games? My memory is that there's a winner's share per player that is about twice the losing share. How are the shares calculated? Are they an equal share per player? Do teams like the Patriots earn less by getting a bye in the first round?
I think it's per game.
Yeah.
But it goes up, I think, per round.
Uh-huh.
It's not just like, well, you won three playoff games, it's $5,000 per playoff game. You know, the stakes go up. I don't have the breakdown for all the different rounds and so on, but I mean, the Super Bowl pot usually goes up every year.
That's what I thought.
So, you know, I don't think you get punished per se for not playing an extra playoff game. I'm not sure. I'm not sure what the 100% answer on that is. I think for a team that gets an opening week bye, I find it hard to believe that they make less money than a team that, you know, has to play an extra game.
I think they get credit for the round, but
I'm not sure what the breakdown is.
Yeah.
Per round and so on. I mean, usually the NFL is always, you know, they're not great about releasing shares of money. They've always been pretty good about telling you what the winner share and the loser share is for the Super Bowl and the Pro Bowl and so on. I don't have it in front of me what it is for this year so far, but it is, as far as the Super Bowl, it is pretty much twice as much.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Is what you get.
Yeah,
so.
That's what I thought. Okay. Well, before we wrap it up for this year, Russell, first of all, I just wanted to say thank you for your willingness to visit with Patriots fans every week here inside this particular program. You know as well as anybody, because we've been doing this now for a couple of years, but you know as well as anybody, the Patriots fans pretty much are as passionate as any fan out there in the National Football League. And from time to time, we know that we get fans from other teams who, you know, log on and listen to these programs, because we're the only particular program of its kind in the NFL, at least at this stage of the game. And who knows when other teams will begin to start their own programming like this. But the insight that you've brought to the program, the fact that you're willing to take the time and sit and explain a lot of the history behind it and a lot of the historical significance behind what's going on in and around the NFL and what and especially around the Patriots, you know, team as well, each and every week, we will all be very, very grateful for. And I know that I've heard from several emailers as well in the past who said they can't believe that your full-time job at ESPN is to do nothing but the NFL for 365 days a year, and that what a great job you must have.
Well, I have a great time doing it. I especially like doing stuff like this, John. You know, passion is a big word with me. You know, I run into my share of passionate people at ESPN. Some of them I don't consider passionate, because some of them I consider just blatantly immature. But there's a difference.
Oh, come on. Can we have some? Let's have some names.
Well, that'll be for the book.
Okay.
But but what I mean by that is, I mean, I love what I do. I try to be as informative as possible. I try to be as factually accurate as possible and try to give you a perspective that it encompasses everything. And, you know, that's what I get paid for at ESPN. My mother, God bless her soul, was the happiest person in the world when she saw what I was doing for a living, because she knew I was meant to do it. And I can't explain why I've been doing it as long as I have, but fortunately I have. So
yeah.
It's fun to visit with you every week, because I know where your heart is. I know where the heart of the Patriots fans and the other great fans across the country are as well. They want to see their teams win. Are they a little overzealous sometimes? Yes. Have we had our share of controversies this year? Yes. But all in all, it's still only a game. And that's the most important thing you need to remember.
Absolutely. All right, that being said, what are your thoughts then on the game a week from Sunday? And I know you've said already that, quite frankly, you tend to think that this could be not one of the closer ones that the Patriots have played, since the three that they've won have all been by a field goal each. And what leads you to that particular determination at this point?
Well, I've got three factors. I'm going to wrap this up very quickly.
All right.
I think the Patriots are twice as good as most teams. They started out the year scoring 38 points every week, and I think they'll do that again. And since 38 is twice as more as 19,
mm-hmm.
I'll make it Patriots 38, Giants 19.
Very good.
That's a good action. For a 19-0 team.
And, of course, they scored 38 against the Giants the first time around, too.
Perfect.
Yeah. It does make it kind of a bookend type thing, doesn't it?
Well, you know, as everybody remembers, or most people might not, the Dolphins were a blocked field goal away from winning the Super Bowl 17-0 during their 17-0 season.
Mm-hmm.
They were up 14-0 when Yopremian had their field goal blocked. Final score wound up 14-7. If he would have kicked it, it would have been 17-0.
Right.
How ironic would that have been? I'm not bold enough to think the Patriots are going to win the Super Bowl 19-0. Let's put it that way. Because I think the Giants will move the football and score. But I think the Patriots just might have a little too much.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Russell, it's been great to visit with you. Thank you again so much for the time that you spent with us. I know that you and I will chat again shortly, fairly soon. One of these days I'll get back to Bristol. It seems like every time they call me to do stuff for them, though, it's like, hey, you can do it via your ISDN if you want to. And I'm kind of like, well, it's kind of hard for me to say no. I'd rather, schlep all the way into Bristol. But at any rate, I'm sure that we'll run into each other again very, very soon, and if not, we'll talk this summer and see if we can't set something up for next year again, if that's all
absolutely.
Right with you.
Absolutely. Safe trip with all your travels, John. My pleasure. It's been great talking to you again, and enjoy the game. I know you won't be there, but enjoy it.
Absolutely. By the way, are you getting to go?
I'm heading down there next Thursday morning.
Very nice. Enjoy Arizona.
I'm going to really try hard.
I think you will. No kidding. All right, Russell, we'll talk soon. Thank you, my friend.
All right, John.
You got it. That's Russell Baxter, again, NFL research coordinator for ESPN, as he joins us here every Thursday. And, yeah, absolutely. See, now, Dan, there you go. We've already got him on the hook for next season. So we'll bring him back next year inside the playbook. All right, before we wrap up the program for today and for the year with Wes Welker, Ellis Hobbs, Richard Seymour, and Junior Seau from just a short while ago here at Gillette Stadium, as soon as they walked off the field from practice here today, in fact, a couple of other emails I'm going to share with you here. Dagmar in Miami says, since this is the last program until September, I'd like to say thank you and congratulations. I've really enjoyed all of your programs. Once again, thank you. I hope you come back in September, as you say. That is my plan, Dagmar. Please make my greetings to get to everyone who works for the Patriots Network and give special thanks, from my part, to Brian Lowe and Christina Acra for their great job throughout the season. Or did you mean Christina Acra and then Brian Lowe? I get what you mean. And then our friend Irene in Tampa says, John, thank you so much for the enjoyable commentary and great football talk throughout the year. I've listened to Playbook for quite a few years now, and although I haven't had much of a chance to email lately, I did the podcast deal quite a bit. In any case, your show is much appreciated by me, and I'm sure lots of other Pats fans. Good health to you and yours, and I'll be glad to hear you again in September. Irene, the feeling is mutual. I always thank those that participate and take the time to not only email us but to listen to the program or download the podcast in this particular instance, or listen to us live if you can, whether or not you're in your office or you're at home or wherever you may be when we're on between 2 and 4 p.m. Eastern time, Tuesdays through Thursdays here on Patriots.com. But it really should go without saying, but I'll say it anyway, the show doesn't exist unless we have you. So I'll say it for the PFW guys, and I'll say it for Gary and Dan and Jason, everybody who here works as part of Patriots.com radio programming. And the fact is that we're very much appreciative of your interest in the New England Patriots, and we're very much appreciative of your interest in our opinions and our thoughts and our way to bring you the news
of the day, so to speak, surrounding this football team. Keep writing, keep calling, keep sending us your thoughts, keep sharing your opinions, and that's why we'll come back next year and make it bigger and better for you when the season rolls around again. We will wrap up today's program with interviews coming off of the practice field today as the Pats continue now to get underway with their preparations for Super Bowl 42 and the New York Giants. Wes Welker, Ellis Hobbs, Richard Seymour, and Junior Seau straight from the playbook.
We're back!
Wes Welker.
Kind of the calm before the storm this week, huh?
What's that?
Yeah, that's right.
I don't know if it's too calm or anything around here. You know, we're making sure we're trying to get our work in and make sure, you know, we get a jump start on this week.
Wes, what were your thoughts when you saw that NFC game unfold? And where were you? Where did you watch it from?
I was back at my house. And, yeah, I was just kind of watching the game. And you know, it was a hard-fought game. And you know, you could tell it was pretty cold. And you know, New York did a great job of finding a way to win.
Your thoughts about now getting to face the Giants again a little more than a month after you faced them in the season?
Yeah, you know, they're a great football team, and they got a lot of confidence going into this game, and they've really kind of come together this past month, and we're definitely going to have our hands full going leading up into this week.
How much do you think that plays into its confidence? I mean, this is a team that overnight seemed to change the way they play football. Is that a big factor for them, you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, confidence is a big thing, and, you know, they're kind of on a roll right now, and you know, we're definitely gonna, you know, have to do a lot of good things out there to keep up with them.
How different is that football team from the one you prepared for last time?
You know, I think, you know, they kind of know it's a one game season at this point, and you know, they've played up to it, and they're playing physical out there, and their special teams has been excellent, and defense played really well, and their offense kind of speaks for itself. So. You know, it's definitely going to be a great matchup for us.
Have you seen reasons for their improvement in the secondary?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, Webster's kind of stepped up for him and has been a great player, and especially going into these playoffs. And then they're going to have Sam Madison, you know, looks like he's going to be healthy. So he's definitely a veteran player. He's been around for a long time. Who could definitely make some plays. And then Ross is no longer a rookie anymore. And you know, we're going to definitely have our hands full with all those guys.
Wes, would you say guys looking forward to playing in warm temperatures? It's been a while since you've been playing in the climate you'll be playing in Arizona.
Yeah, it'll be nice. You know, anytime you get down in some warm weather and stuff, it'll definitely be a change for us. It'll be like how we had it at the beginning of the season. So, you know, it'll be good to get back in those warm climates.
Wes, would you say things got a little chippy the last time you guys played? A couple of late personal fouls in that game, a lot of talk about late hits and pushing after the whistle.
I think that's any game, you know, especially, you know, late in the season like that and going into the playoffs. You know, I think every game's going to be like that, and you know, that may have been maybe amplified a little bit now.
Certainly has been a lot of talk about your quarterback's ankle. Can you imagine a situation in which he would not play in a game of this magnitude?
I don't know. You'll have to ask Tom about anything pertaining to him and his ankle.
How tough is he? Is that one of the underrated things, do you think, Brady?
Yeah, I mean, the guy's, you know, he hadn't missed many games, so, you know, he's done a great job of you know, keeping himself healthy and being ready to play.
Wes, how ironic is it that, you know, the team that stood as an obstacle to something historic, you know, for you guys now stands again as an obstacle to a chance for you to make some history in this league?
Yeah, I guess, I don't know. I guess y'all look at that stuff probably more than we do, but, you know, we just know it's the next game and this one really counts and you know, we just need to make sure that we prepare ourselves and we're ready to go.
So,
Ellis Hobbs.
He had on his voicemail, you know, don't call me for tickets. How have you handled the off the field, the distractions, and all the ticket requests?
I mean, it's a distraction if you let it be. I mean, obviously, it's kind of like anything in life, man. You can't please everybody. You know, all of a sudden, everyone becomes your best friend. I got a guy who knows a guy who knows Ellis Hobbs, can get a ticket, whatever, you know. And I think it's difficult for all of us, but, you know, I think Bill put it best in the meeting. I think the best word we can use this week is no. you know on a lot of things, you know, just kind of simplifies everything, not trying to justify it or, you know, well, let me get back to you, then just clear and dry. No, you know, like I said, you can't please everybody.
As we look at this Giants team now, how different are they, especially offensively, than the team you prepared for about a month ago?
Well, I think the team that you saw us play in December is the team that has been present this whole playoff run. It's just, you know, a team that had a lot of momentum going into that game, and it used a lot of situations that came out positive for them in that game and just used it and carried them on through the playoffs.
How about Eli Manning? He seemed to, like, morphed into a – different quarterback.
You know, it's all about, you know, the NFL is you can go either way. You can go in a bad swing with momentum or a good swing, you know. And like I said, they just used him and that team just continually building momentum throughout the playoffs, the victories, you know, simplifying the offense, hitting the easy routes and making big plays off that.
How much does confidence play into it, do you think?
It plays a lot, man. It plays a lot into the whole season. You know, confidence. Confidence gets you victories in this league where, you know, going out there knowing that you can do it day in and day out and, you know, play after play, it speaks volumes about your play and about the team, and it just helps with the momentum.
What type of challenge does Plaxico present for you,
so
receiver that size?
A big receiver, you know, big bodies over there, you know, not necessarily just him, but everybody over there. You know, big bodies want to be physical, want to intimidate, want to go up and catch the ball. Like I said, you just have to understand what they're trying to do and how they're trying to do it.
How much does the face of him just a month ago help you?
It helps a lot because now you can use that game for film study, for practice. What did you do wrong in that game? And then also taking the positives out, you know, when he wasn't catching the ball or when the ball wasn't thrown his way, what were you doing not allowing that?
Defensively, do you guys kind of have a chip on your shoulder this week going into this game, whereas you played well enough to win last time, but offensively they were pretty successful against you?
Not necessarily a chip, man. Like I said, what happened in December, that was two totally different teams, you know. Not any excuses or anything like that, but like I said, the playoffs is a little different. Obviously, the Super Bowl is much different. You know, going into that game, a lot of key factors that helped that game be the way it is on both sides of the ball and for both teams, but you can't go into it like that. You take it for what it's worth and just worry about the Super Bowl.
What did you think about, Tom, with the cast and without the cast? Was that much to do about nothing?
That has nothing to do with me, man. Next question.
Would you say that game got a little chippy the last time you guys played?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, you know, it's the end of the season. We had a lot at stake. They wanted to end that perfect season or whatever, this and that. And, you know, just the whole hype behind it, the media, broadcast on so many televised stations or whatever. And, you know, just it just had a lot going into it. You could have a mini Super Bowl or something like that. I don't know.
What's that tell you about the personality of their team, though, that they came at you so hard in that last game when they already had sewed up their wild card berth?
You know, just being a competitor. It's not necessarily the team, but the individuals. If you're in this league and, you know, you're worth anything or you consider yourself to be worth anything, you want to compete all the time. You know, not shut it down at the end of the season just because you have something. I think both teams do that as far as the Patriots and the Giants go. And, you know, that's pretty much how I carry out my life. And a lot of guys in this locker room and throughout the league carry their life, being very competitive.
Can you guys keep yourself from getting caught up in all the talk? And obviously they like to talk quite a bit.
You just, through trial and error by looking at other people's mistakes, you know, understanding that, you know, all that talking, it doesn't do anything. And, you know, just coming to your senses, common sense tells you, you know, you can sit here and you can jaw all day, but in between the white lines, you know, it's kind of like boxers, you know, all that stuff they do, all that stuff they say, and then you see a completely different person in the ring. And then afterwards, they're hugging, talking about how much money they done got, you know, beef sales, you know, whatever. It doesn't matter, man. It's, like I said, you have to take care of it in between the lines.
Getting back to the big receiver, especially Plaxico, what is the most important thing for you when facing a guy like that?
Technique, great technique. You can't make mistakes on big guys like that. When the ball's in the air, you have to be, you know, aware of your body, what position you're in, and not allow him to get himself in a body position where he can box you out. It's kind of almost like basketball, rebound and things like that, where, you know, he already has the size advantage, but don't give him anything else.
So you want to go in front of him?
Like, yeah, always trying to front him, always just doing anything not to allow his body to get in your way.
Richard Seymour.
I mean, it seems like they became a different team after putting the effort they did against you guys.
They're responsible for what they've done. You know, we're responsible for what we do. And, you know, so And rightfully so. They deserve everything that they get. I mean, because they deserve to be in this football game because they came out and they played the game the way it's supposed to be played, and they played hard and they played tough and they're well coached and they play good on special teams. So, you know, hats off to those guys in the Giants uniform because they deserve it.
Richard, do you counsel some of the young guys to put on the blinders when now this Super Bowl madness starts, or tighten them up and just kind of watch what they do and say?
Absolutely. I think a game like this, everything that you do is always magnified times how many other media people are here. So, you know, I think, we've done a good job all year long of keeping our focus. And, you know, this is a prime situation to continue that. And I think we have the formula to keep it going.
Richard, speaking of that magnified, it seems like you're a bit amused by what unfolded with Tom this week and the videos.
Right. I mean, that's a prime example. That's a prime example. And, you know, like I said, we can't control we play in the world's best game. You know, we play in, you know, a sport that, you know, everyone loves, and it's a physical, tough, aggressive game, and, you know, the world is going to be watching. So we understand that, and we know what this game is all about.
What was your reaction when you saw those,
Well, every channel that I turned to, that there it was, and, magnifying in on the boot. But I think the funny part, the good part, was the flowers. So. Absolutely. I was on the flowers. I wasn't on the boot.
On the side of the hysteria that there was something bad wrong with him, obviously if there was something really wrong with him, he'd be up here having treatment that day.
Right. Right. Obviously Tom can speak for himself, on this, but, I don't foresee him not being in this game.
Yeah.
Pressure on all the rescue guys to come home with flowers, and you saw Tom bring
them. Yeah, I came home with some flowers for my wife, as some shipped in.
How tough a quarterback is he? He started 126 games. Do you view him as one of the toughest guys in the league?
Yeah, and I think, he puts in the work to be one of the elite players, because when Tom first got here, he was, slim, skinny kid, and now you kind of look at him, he has legs, chest, he's in there doing Olympic lifts and, working out in the off season, just like offensive or defensive linemen. So, he's a part of us, and, that's the way he carries himself.
You talked a little bit about that Super Bowl against the Rams. Is this kind of what it's like to be on the other side of that coin? They went into that game, everything they did was documented. Everybody was watching them. Now you guys are kind of that team that Tom's got a walking boot on. It's, it makes national headlines. Is that something you weren't really cognizant of going into that game, that so much focus was on the Rams at that time, and now you're trying to
decide? Well, I think each year and each game, each season is always different, and I think you have different circumstances that you have to deal with year in and year out. And this is a different team now than what we've had, back in 2001. I think we've done a good job all year long of understanding what we have to do to be prepared. And, I don't see this week being any different.
Richard, as a guy who makes a living trying to knock quarterbacks out of games, when you see a quarterback play 126 straight games, how significant is that to you?
It means, he's a tough guy. He's also getting the job done, because in this business, if you don't get the job done, somebody else will. And, if you have longevity in this league, I think, it speaks volumes by what you've been able to do year in and year out. I think you have to be a consistent player on a lot of different fronts and, have good off-season workout programs and do a good job of taking care of your body. So when you see, guys like Rodney Harrison and, Michael Strahan being in this league as long as they have, it's a reason for that. And, I think young guys need to pick their brain. What do you do? What's some of your workout regimens, et cetera? So,
you're not going
new league.
Junior Sal.
I always do every week.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
All right. Excited about this one? Getting in Super Bowl mode yet, or are you kind of?
No, not really. We got our game plan. We're going to try to insert that. And thank you, buddy. How you doing? You like that interview back there? I got you, didn't I? Yes. It's too far away. It just seems like a month away yet. So,
being super, we've been through this before. Do you think
you've
heard about teams waiting to install all the game plan, keep the guys fresh? You don't want to rush to get into this, right?
Well, you try to put as much as you can in there, and whatever sticks, obviously you can condense it towards the end. Hopefully we can do that and go out there and perform and execute it.
Ellis said learning the word no was big this week in terms of all the ticket requests and distractions. I mean, do you have any tips on handling this stuff, or does coach kind of break it down for you?
No, just try to keep the same regimen that we've been on for the last 18 weeks. You know, that's going to be a key factor, just making sure that we stay focused and, you know, obviously humble and staying hungry is always going to be a key factor in everything that we do. But, you know, trying to keep the same regimen that got us to where we are is going to be a key.
When you look at this Giants team, how different are they than the team you prepared for about a month ago, especially offensively?
Well, they're doing a heck of a job of scoring. You know, Eli's playing out of his mind. He's doing a great job of controlling, managing the game. And, you know, they have a two combo running back core back there that are doing a great job of running the ball downhill. So, yeah, they're definitely they're a hot team. They really are.
Use the word managing. Is there a difference between a guy like Eli and a guy like Tom? Eli more manages a game. Tom might win it.
No, you every quarterback has to manage the game. You have to be able to manage the game. And whenever you manage the game, you do what you do best, and you take whatever the defense gives you. And you go from there. You know, to have the game come to you, and instead of trying to force the game onto you, it's probably the better option. But he's been able to do that. And, you know, in the three games that he's played, they've been on the road. You know, and that's tough to do. And he's come out with flying colors right now.
Just played them in a tough game. Is an easy sell for Bill today to tell you guys how good this team is?
It doesn't matter what happened in the past. It really doesn't. What we have to do is just insert our game plan. And obviously work one day at a time and try to position ourselves to go out there and execute on Sunday.
Junior, were you surprised how chippy it got out there between you guys in the season finale? I mean, you faced him before in preseason, but it seemed like, you know, you guys had faced each other three or four times in the division, you know, when you got out there.
It was probably, you know, I was probably an old man figure out there just being grumpy. Being chippy and everything else, that's the name of the game. You know, you're going to have that once in a while, but... You know, whatever happened last time we got together, it really doesn't matter now because it's a different game, obviously a different day, and there are different things on the table right now.
So many people talk about how much different we are as a team, and you know, but do you feel partly responsible as a team here for kind of putting them on that playoff run because you guys kind of exacted the best out of them in that game?
No, we're not responsible for anything they did. I mean, they did it on their own. You know, they're a great team, and they went out there and performed under some adverse conditions. You know, they took the scenic route to get to where they are, and you got to tip your hat off to them.
I know it doesn't matter, but if there's one thing that last game teaches you, is it again just a reminder of the red zone importance in terms of that Giants game? They went 4-for-4.
Yeah. Well, the red zone's always important, you know, and that's something that we want to solidify, and hopefully we can go out and repeat what we did last week. But, yeah, that's going to be a challenge every game.